on Widnes Rugby Chat episode 11 of 2024. We're here as ever from Alan Coleman, who provides an injury update following the Wakefield game. We look ahead to a crunch match for Widnes with Sheffield at the weekend and discuss how the trials and tribulations at Whitehaven this week could impact on the player picture. We also hear from Kieran Dixon about his Widnes exit. Alan, a defeat against Wakefield, but still a performance to be proud of in many ways.
Yeah, I thought for start, well, first 15, 20 minutes, it was like we couldn't get out of yardage, but we said we've got a complete eye, we was 100% in yardage. And then when we got a couple of glimpses where we decided to play early in yardage, and then we got some good ball sets, we put them under real pressure. And I just said at half time, listen, we was against wind as well, and I said we've had a right dig though, and I said our energy levels were good. They scored in the last 30 seconds of the half to go in front, so we took a lot out of us. There's no excuses, but we held extra two subs back for what the reason we thought we would be, and it was vital. We started the second half really well, and unfortunately we didn't. The first 5 minutes we give two penalties away, we're sloppy, and they capitalised on it. And then we come back in game and we show that we play a bit of rugby again and we get them. But yeah, I'm really, really proud of them. I thought their effort were there. They show why they're top of the league, 60 minutes, there's 4 points in it. And then after that, a full-time team, they score 24, 20-odd points unanswered and, totally deserve it. The best team in the competition, no qualms from us. But I was proud of the effort.
Do you think that penalties were the difference in you maybe taking the game a bit longer in the end, or...?
Yeah, certainly. I thought we could have kicked smarter, I'll be honest. We spoke about kicking smart, and I just didn't think we kicked enough. Maybe kick on tackle 3 and 4 with this wind and really make those start points in difficult positions, so the 10-yard away from line instead of 20, 30 metres, what we started with. And a team like this, they can roll you. So, tackle 3, we're in our 30, and that were a difference. But, penalties cost us. 6-0 second-half penalties. But we've got to learn from it.
You lost Nathan Wild pretty early, and then Ryan Lannan didn't come out second half. What's the verdict on them?
Nathan Wild, he spoke, he was getting palpitations, and the doctor said it was an irregular heartbeat, so we had to take precautions and ring him off, which is vital for the kid. And Ryan Lannan, at half time, the doctor said with the clash, he thought he should have an head test, and Ryan complained of a bit of an headache. So with precaution again, play well for it, we've got to go with it, and unfortunately he's failed that.
You brought Shane Grady in. I'm sure he probably won't thank you for giving his first game back against Wakefield away, but how did you think he went?
I thought he was good. I thought he was really good, considering he's not played for nearly 12 months. And well, he's great attitude, mate. As soon as I met him and we got a conversation, you could tell He demands respect because he speaks smart and he does his work on the field, and he's coming helped us out this week more than anything. He's still not 100% ready yet, he's saying, but he's coming helped us, so we appreciate that. And hopefully, if we can get Rod and Wildy back this week, and Foz, we're desperate for get some more bodies in this week.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing as well. You put in a good performance, but you are missing a lot of players, and there's bigger games, I suppose, to come in the coming weeks, especially with the results going on and everything getting tighter around in that playoffs.
I've heard some whispers. I've not heard results. I believe Featherstone's beat Bradford. That's all I've heard. I don't know about the others. You see York last night. They're the team. They've got a very good team, and a win in France will lift momentum. I think they play Batley next, so one of them two will go 4 or 5 points behind, so with 5-6 games to go, so that's a vital game for them. We've just got to focus on us. A massive game next week against Sheffield, and like I said, it'd be nice to get a full complementary of players, just so that give me a bit of an headache more than anything.
Just a last word on the two young lads you had on the three quarters, both got a try apiece. Regan Summer on his debut, and then Zach Bardsley, after missing last week, came back, and I think he rolled an ankle a little bit in the first half, but did well generally.
Yeah, I spoke with Butty. He's not missed a game this season, and it was vital I had a look at Regan. I know what he's about. You can see today he's an exciting prospect for Widnes, he's a talented young man. He works hard. He's very similar to Butty, but a bit smaller version, a bit like Marshall, like we spoke about. And he's an exciting player, and it was good to see him now. So I'm confident with that now. I've got three quality wingers. And Zach, we missed him last week, I thought. Zach's more strength, power with his carries. Today he was getting at K a lot, and carrying him over, and we just said, listen, bat yourself and you'll get over, and he did. Picked a knock-up, which wasn't great. But yeah, he seems okay. But yeah, two talented young players.
And although you've lost Keenan Brand, you're still confident you've got enough bodies to see you through to the end of the season?
Yeah, certainly. If we get Wildy and Rod back, and Max can cover centre as well, and we've got Flem. I thought Flem were good today. Defensively, reads were brilliant, and carries and metres he made, and just a smart player, and we've missed that. So yeah, we're all right. We just need them three. If we can get them three, I'll be happy.
Another week in the books then, and a game against Wakefield. The score got away from Widnes in the end, and probably no one was really expecting Widnes to go there and get a result, Mike. But what were your overall thoughts?
To be honest, this week I agree with most of what Alan said. I thought in the first half, I thought we was really competitive. They was clearly winning the territory battle, wasn't they? You know, making really good meters, but we was hanging in there, defending our line really well. Only made a couple of mistakes, and I thought in that first half, I thought we just towards the end of the half, about 5 or 6 minutes to go, we were starting to play on the front foot a little bit, and I think the moment that kind of took it away from us was when I think Tom Gilmore tried to slide a kick into touch to kind of get us to half-time. And unfortunately, it went out. It was a poor kick in the end, and it went over the dead ball line, 7 tackles set. And what the good sides do, they execute very well, and straight away you're punished. I thought that was the killer, really. But considering, obviously, the unusual interchange of Nathan Wild going off, I hope he's okay. Really good that the team have took precaution there. And Shane Grady had to come on probably very prematurely. How good was he? You know, 10 months out, was it? You know, he didn't look like he'd missed a game. Never mind 10 months. Absolutely fantastic for anybody who didn't go the game. It was just Shane doing what Shane does, rolling up his sleeves, didn't miss a tackle, taking the ball forward really strongly. And I thought as well, another real shame, especially with potentially Sam Wild and Roderick Lloyd coming back next week, was we seen Ryan Lannan slide into the middle, and I thought he really went well there. I thought he went really strong, was making good yards again, really good in contact defence. So we probably won't get to see that next week, potentially now. So that was, I suppose, the negatives out of that first half, them losing them two players. But then the second half, I think you just seen the quality of Wakefield, and I think there were just periods of the game where I just thought we'd give everything, and the game probably ended at the right time for us, because I thought another 10 minutes and I thought, you know, Wakefield might have posted a few more points, and that wasn't through us being poor, I don't think. I think it was just we give what we had to give. And, you know, a quality side was executing the plays and ultimately getting in rhythm, really. And fair play to Wakefield, because last time I visited there, you know, it was a shell of a ground. And this time I went with the new stand, the atmosphere, what they've done with the food wagons all around. I think it really looked a Super League setup, really.
Yeah, the ground there is definitely much better. And I think it's probably good for Wakefield that they've been able to develop that ground. I certainly think that a lot of rugby league clubs are struggling because they sold the ground many years ago. And I think being able to redevelop, you know, if you did one stand every 20 years, 25 years, you'd keep recycling it. They put the cover on that terrace behind the post a few years ago, which I think makes a big difference. The new stand's great, you know, it gives them a focal point. Clearly, they've got work to do on the other side. I mean, even the hospitality boxes that are much maligned, it's better than having nothing there, which was previously the case. It's an interesting one because I think there was 5,000 there, and I don't know how much of that is, you know, clearly Wakefield are winning every week, so it's good. But of course, they almost know that no matter what happens, they're going to be in Super League next season. So they're making signings based on that. So they're in this unique position that no other club can really replicate, because they're pretty much nailed, well, they believe, or most people believe, that they're nailed on to be in Super League next season. So it's almost like this is like a few months warm up for the fans to get back into it ahead of next season. I thought Widnes stood up to him pretty well in the first half, defended quite a lot. Yeah, you mentioned the Gilmore. He was slightly unfortunate with the kick towards the end of the half. And then I think just at the start of the second half, there was a couple of errors. I think Ryan Ince knocked on it to play the ball, and then Sam Brooks gave away a bit of a needless penalty, to be honest, ahead of the McGilvery try. And I just think maybe if you'd have taken them couple of moments out of the game, I think if it could have gone longer at 16-12, maybe Widnes might have asked some questions. But yeah, I think it was one of those. I think you weren't expecting to win at Wakefield away. And ultimately what transpired. I think the disappointment's probably still there from the Featherstone match. And that leads us into this weekend against Sheffield, which is, it's not quite a must win, but certainly given the closeness of the teams around Widnes, this weekend at home to Sheffield is a pretty big game. If Sheffield were to beat Widnes this weekend, they would go 5 points clear of Widnes with, what, 5 games left. And you'd almost suggest that would probably put Sheffield out of touch from a Widnes point of view, and they're only third. So as much as the Featherstone game was a big game, losing the Featherstone game probably made this Sheffield one even bigger.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I think the thing to add to that as well is I think Batley play York this week. So one of them two sides are going to be on 22 points as well, which if we lost, you know, that's 1 point behind us then. And obviously Featherstone, fair play to Featherstone. They've gone and beat Bradford and us in the matter of 2 weeks, which has massively changed the outlook of their fixtures from now to the end of the season. So they've changed that. Bit of momentum. I don't think it's unfair to say it's crucial. It really is a crucial game now, more so because of the way, you know, results have been the last 2 weeks. They've certainly not gone in our favour at all. But look, the upside is we are fifth. We're on 23 points. As it stands, we're 3 points clear in the playoffs still. And we have to play Sheffield. We have to play York. We have to play Batley and we have to play Doncaster. So theoretically, it's in our hands. And if we get the job done in two, three of them games, you know, it should see us home and dry. But you want to get that going sooner rather than later. And I think with the disappointment of the Featherstone game at home and the manner of kind of how it slipped away from us, you know, it'd be a massive psychological boost, and it'll be a massive boost for the fans as well to send you into them games.
Yeah, we talked about the run of 6 games and that Widnes are in, and the Sheffield game is the sixth one of those. And I think I said at the start, if they could come away with 3 out of 6, they'd be fairly happy with that. Well, they got the first 3. They've now won 3 out of 5. If they can get the fourth one here, I think it'd be a massive, really help the playoff, especially because you've got this run of games coming up: Batley away, York at home, Doncaster away. To lose against Sheffield this weekend would really put even more pressure on those games. But it's still in Widnes' hands, and that's as good as they can hope for. Not got the best of records against Sheffield, it has to be said. I think Widnes have only won 2 out of 9 meetings between the two sides since relegation from Super League. One of those was in 2019. But having said that, the away side has only won 2 out of the last 11 meetings between Widnes and Sheffield. So home, although Sheffield do appear to be a little bit of a bogey team in recent years for Widnes, the home side generally prevails, although Widnes have lost at home 30 points to 18 in the past 2 seasons. An interesting dynamic: Mark Aston still not back at Sheffield. He was suspended pending a club investigation. And I just wonder how much of an impact that's possibly having on them.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield, isn't he? Mark Aston is monumental to that club. And I don't think, you know, it kind of aligns where they have had a bit of a wobble themselves. I mean, they had a couple more points on the board compared to us, which has probably helped them, you know, be a bit more, have a bit more breathing space in comparison to us. But, you know, I think Batley turned them over at Olympic Legacy Park, I think, in recently as well. So they're there for the taking. You know, I suppose as fans, you dwell on results probably a little bit more than probably what the players and coaching staff can do, because I guess they're in control of the situation, whereas fans, you've just got to sit back and watch, haven't you? But I think it's a game we can win, and we need to go into it with confidence. You've got to scrub the Featherston game off now. I don't think you'll be that poor in execution if you play 20, 30 more games. I really don't. And there was plenty of positives in that Wakefield game as well. I thought, you mentioned in the interview, you know, Zach Bardsley-Rowe being back, he just keeps getting better, doesn't he? He looks like a man who's 27, 28-year-old with 100 championship games behind him, and it's not as much him going forward, it's how settled in defence he is as well. So, you know, we've got plenty of strike players, and hopefully Fozard, Wild and Rodri Lloyd coming back, you know, that is going to be a massive boost for us. So hopefully that can be enough to get us over the line.
Yeah, I mean, Sheffield have lost four of their last six games now. One of them wins was that massive one over Whitehaven, but then they only narrowly beat Doncaster at the start of August. So they're probably in their worst form, if you like, of the season. You mentioned Zach Bardsley-Rowe, and both he and Lucas Green probably epitomising, I should say, what dual red should be about, young players getting game time and progressing. We saw another young player, Regan Sumner, score a try on his debut against Wakefield, and interesting that he was afforded the opportunity to play to perhaps, well, for witness to have a look at him close up in a match situation, just in case something happens to Mike Butt or Ryan Ince, it meant that Mike Butt could have a bit of a rest.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got to stick with loyalty, haven't you? Mike Butt, Ryan Ince, they're almost faultless, really, aren't they? So, you know, that is going to be the first choice. But from what I've seen, for such a young lad, again, with not a lot of Championship or Super League experience, I thought he carried himself really well. I think what impressed me the most was, I think, on one of his first kick returns, he fumbled the ball a bit, didn't he, and it went backwards. But he collected it, took it in. And what I really liked about him was, when he played the ball, he lined up for the next carry and he got over it straight away. And since that, he didn't let it dwell on him. He grew into the game. He really, really carried the ball well, a strong lad, and he looked to have a bit of pace as well about him. So I think that was a real plus for us, in the sense of, if, you know, God forbid, I mean, we don't want it to happen, but if someone picks up an injury on the flanks, you know, you have got a very capable replacement.
Yeah, well, on the subject of wingers, a few people have been asking if we can catch up with Kieran Dixon since he left Widnes at the start of last month. I couldn't quite catch up with him myself personally, but I got my old mate George Riley to ask him a few questions on the Boundary Line podcast. So thanks to Oldham and the Boundary Line for allowing us to use this audio. Here's what Kieran Dixon had to say specifically about his exit from Widnes.
Let's just talk for a couple of minutes about where you are, Kieran, in your career. How the move here came about. How did Mike Ford and Sean Long sell you this Oldham dream that Chez has been a part of for a few years now?
It just came around, obviously, I was over at Widnes, and this year I'd struggled for game time. I got injured early on in the year, and the boys started playing well whilst I was out. So I had a few weeks on the sideline through injury, and then just struggled to get back in. And it was coming to the point where you're having a conversation about, are you wanted next year, contract offers and XYZ, and I was told that I wasn't wanted for next year, and it was obviously difficult to take, but then obviously not playing as well, it's kind of even harsher on your mental. So I kind of stepped away and had to think about what was right, and for me at that time it was asking for a release to then hopefully secure something for the future for me and my family, and that's what's most important to me. And I spoke to Longy. He coached me before at London, and he said he was interested to have a conversation, and jumped at the opportunity to meet him and Mike. And yeah, the dream of coming to Boundary Park, playing here, came in and saw the stadium, met them too, had a good conversation, and yeah, the opportunity was too good to say no to. And yeah, I'm glad I'm here, and hopefully I've made a good impact from my first few games, and yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing out the year.
Do you already feel like, I mean, what, you play three games now, do you already feel like you've made the right decision from the 3 weeks of experience that you've had?
No, definitely. I think coming in, I knew a lot of the players through playing against them over the years, and but everything about it, the way the club is moving forward, what the visions are, where they're looking to take the club, it's all moving forward, all moving up, and it's not unattainable. It's not something that they've gone, oh, we want to do this, and it's
a realistic
dream. Yeah, it's a realistic one. Like I said, that's probably the best word for it. It's very realistic. You can see the actions happening, and as a player, that's what you want to see, because there's times you can be told certain things. Oh yeah, we're looking to do this, we're looking to do that, and you never see them quite making the steps that are needed for that. But yeah, I think it's very clear that they are doing that here.
I've had a few people I know who support Widnes who've come to me and say, why did Kieran leave? I said, well, I don't know, but I don't think he was offered anything for next year. But that might be an unfair question, but had they offered you something for next year, but you still weren't getting in the team this year,
no.
What would you have done?
No, that's difficult. I think that's a conversation that I'll never know the answer to, because right. I never had it. It was just told that I wasn't required for next year, and that was as far as it went. And decisions from that conversation had to be made on both sides, and it was, yeah, like I say, it was a tough conversations that obviously no one enjoys having, but it's part of the game.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, been around the game for a long time, and experienced stuff like that, but not quite to the same extent. But yeah, it's conversations that need to be had, and even though they are tough, you can't get past them.
So Kieran Dixon's moved on. Oldham have now won League One, and Widnes will probably go, well, almost definitely be facing Kieran Dixon in the Championship next year. Was there anything about that interview that surprised you, Mike, or concerned you in any way?
Not for me. I think I try and look at it from a club's perspective as well. And, you know, I'm not somebody who obviously has ever dealt with contracts or knows any insight of what any players are on. But I imagine when you look at Kieran Dixon, when he arrived at Widnes, he'll have been on pretty decent money. And for a player, really, I know he can play fullback to a degree, but really he is an out-and-out winger for me. And you've got two capable operators ahead of you. I think from a business point of view, it's probably one of them where, you know, fan favourite, yeah, but can we spend that money elsewhere? Probably. And then from the player's side of it, you know, he obviously wants to play regular rugby. You know, certainly at the stage of his career he is at, and obviously, you know, the capability of Kieran as well. You know, he's a fantastic winger. I don't think he's left through being poor. I think it's just a case of he's got two very good wingers ahead of him. So for me, I'll be honest, I was more disappointed with Ant Walker leaving him personally than Kieran Dixon. I understood the Dixon move a little bit more, but that's just my view.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, the main difference, if Kieran Dixon wasn't really getting in the team, he was only playing the odd game, you know, like you say, whereas Ant Walker was still playing it, I suppose. I don't know whether I was just looking a bit too deeply into it. I thought, he sort of, without saying it explicitly, he was basically a bit miffed by the way it was handled, I think, by the sounds of it. But then you would expect that from a player who's being told that they're not wanted. There was a line where he did say, and I don't know whether this was just bigging up what Oldham said, but he said, there are times you can be told certain things, we're looking to do this and do that, and you can't see them making the steps needed to do that. That might just be him making a positive slant on on what Oldham are doing. But we move on, and Kieran Dixon, of course, he was a little bit of a fan's favourite. He's one of those players that, I suppose, gets people on their feet. You know, as much as there's a mistake in him, he's quick, and you know, he can create something out of nothing. He finishes with a decent record at Widnes, 25 tries in 38 games. So all the best to him. And of course, we'll see him next season at Oldham. At Oldham, look like they're planning some new recruitment, but I'm sure there'll still be plenty of former Widnes players in and around that squad next season. Should we go into questions now, Mike, if you've got any?
Yeah, just the two this week. Quiet mailbox this time. First one, should we be looking at Tyra instead? Should we look at playing Tyra instead of Lyons to see what he has to offer? Now, my point of view on this, I suppose, is it's timing, isn't it? You know, we've got arguably one of the most important fixtures to come this weekend, and we need to win it. And I've got to be honest, I think Joe Lyons is having a fantastic season. I think he's been a running threat. I think his short kicking game has improved this year, in my opinion. I think his defence is up there with any halfback, I've got to be honest. Hopefully, maybe, I'd love to see Tyra play a couple of games, but I think that has to be if we manage to win a couple of games, secure our playoff spot, and then maybe that comes at the end of the season. I don't know what your thoughts are, James.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, we're not. There's no point in looking at a player now. There's games to be winning now. If for whatever reason it's decided that Tyra is a better option to play, then fair enough. But I'd find that hard to believe, given, like say, how Joe Lyons has played this season. You know, you might argue, could he have played against Wakefield last week to give him some time? But then at the same time, it's a tough enough game. He's probably not. It's probably not a game to be chucking a halfback in, because he's not really going to get much of the ball in a good position. So yeah, I presume he's probably in and around, so they can have a look at him at training and get him up to speed, probably ahead of next season, I would imagine. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And the next one, this is a bit interesting, because I think there's parts of this question that are kind of a good initiative, maybe not all of it, but some of it. So the question was, should Widnes let fans enter a competition for a couple of pounds to design a shirt? Now, I was thinking about this, James, and I was thinking, maybe not as a home and away kit, but maybe as a third kit, or even like, I know Donna at the shop has made the Alan Coleman shirt, so maybe an opportunity to create a further bit of merchandise, and then in the process you may be making a few quid off people entering the competition, and then obviously potential sales as well. So I didn't think it was too bad of an idea, to be honest. What are your thoughts?
I wouldn't charge for it, to be honest. I think if you're going to do that and ask people to do designs, I think you just try and get as many in as possible. I think you're sort of impacted by two main things, really. Time is one. I would imagine that next season's kit is already well in advance of discussions, or if not, already in production. Certainly the time scales it takes to get kits done now, you know, to ensure you want delivery before Christmas and all that, it'd certainly have to be close. Then you've also got the sponsorship element as well. You know, to get the shirt printed, you need to get the sponsors on it handy as well. So I would imagine those sorts of conversations are happening now. I mean, I think I've even seen some EFL football teams have even put out designs to vote on for next season already, and their season's only just started. So that gives you an idea of the time scale. You've also got the fact of, can the manufacturer actually do that? You know, can a manufacturer, certain manufacturers will just give you a basic design or a templated design that's within their operation. To do a fully bespoke design kit is maybe a different proposition. You would presume that would be possible for Widnes. Obviously, they had a little bit of a customised one last season to, or this season, to commemorate the 40 years since Challenge Cup. But yeah, I think things like that are a good idea to engage fans. I don't see any harm in doing it. And like you say, if you end up doing it as a third kit, it's a way of adding a bit of extra revenue. I think this is probably the first year for a long time I haven't bought a shirt, actually, which, I'm not sure why, but I think you've got to be a bit careful with releasing. I think there's so many shirts released now that you only play 27, 28 games, don't you? And they only bring out the shirts for 1 year. So on average, if you bring out 3 shirts a year, you're only wearing them 9 times in total on average. So, but yeah, I think it would be a good step from a fan engagement. There's plenty of other ways you can engage with fans as well, but it'd be interesting to see what designs that the club come up with this time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was thinking maybe more like even if it wasn't like a full-on kit, maybe like, you know, like almost like a training kit. Not necessarily one that the players would wear, but like something that they could sell for fans as further merchandise to what they have.
Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be some outreach and feedback from fans on that. Again, I haven't bought anything from the shop for ages, and whenever I've been there's not really, or when I've had a look or been online or whatever, there's not really been anything that sort of tickled my fancy to buy. And I wonder whether it might be worthwhile asking people what they want to see, what would make them buy something. I did the thing the other week with the coasters, that was just a random thing that I'd seen that they'd done them for some other clubs. So I approached them and said, why don't you do some for Widnes? And then, you know, a few weeks later, they ended up in the Widnes Club shop. So they're obviously receptive to new ideas and things like that. But I think a lot of the stuff I've seen this year has been a little bit bland and, not great quality. And it's like, I'd like to think that if there was enough fans who wanted a certain something, that if you produced it, people would buy it. So, we'll see how it all pans out. But I certainly think you want to be, you know, there's still 3,000 people in the ground, or the best part of 3,000 people. So that's not an insignificant number. And so if you're able to cater for the needs and wants of them nearly 3,000 people, you know, even what even if 10% bought it, 300 is a, you know, 300 is quite a significant number to be selling of that particular, whether it be a shirt or a hoodie or a jumper or whatever. Maybe we'll see some activity around that. Well, thanks for your questions as always. Please do keep them coming on the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page. Slightly unusual this week, we want to have a chat about the Whitehaven situation. So if you've not seen, the Whitehaven coach resigned in his post-match interview after they beat Doncaster at the weekend. They've since appointed former Widnes prop Kyle Amore as head coach, but then he turned up to training on Tuesday to find that all the players were refusing to play. It appeared they were a bit short on money, which seems to happen every year. And then a group of former directors came back to the club at the back end of last week, and it appears that there's some frosty relations between them and the playing staff. You don't have to look far to see various allegations or rumours on Facebook. There's some that the coach was being sacked before the weekend, the team manager was being sacked before the weekend, and they both jumped before they were pushed. There's people speculating about whether they owed money. I've seen authoritative people say that there isn't anything like that going on, but clearly it's not a nice situation. And at the moment, we don't even know whether they're going to play on Sunday against Dewsbury, Mike.
No, very concerning. Obviously relates to things that we've kind of been through in the not too distant past. Really feel sorry for the fans. Awful, horrible. I don't think it's out of turn to say, you know, there were stages last year where players wasn't getting paid on time. You know, certainly been a reoccurrence of that situation again this season. And I think the one person that kept that group together, and let's have it right, James, not only kept that group together, but was getting performances where they was giving absolutely everything to John Tigali. I mean, you go up to Whitehaven And you know you're going to be in a game no matter what, no matter what team, no matter how many people are on the, are in, you know, in the treatment room. You know you're gonna be up for a game, and that was because of how he got his players up for any game playing for him. So if that is the case of the treatment of John Cigali, I think it's disgusting. And I think the stance that the players have took, I think, speaks volumes of how well he's thought of, and, you know, obviously what they think of other people as well. And yeah, just a sad, sad state of affairs. And fair play to Kyle for tracking up. I don't know if anybody's caught that interview of his last night. I'm sure plenty of people have. Fair play to him for going up to try and firefight. But they certainly seem an adamant group at the moment that they're not going to be playing until certain things change. So really feel sorry for the fans. Feel sorry for the players. Feel sorry for Jonty. I just hope they get it sorted. I really do. And I hope it doesn't come to us seeing certain things happen in the Championship, which I'm sure you're going to go through next, James, of what potentially could happen if they don't fulfil the remaining fixtures.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, Whitehaven are in a relegation battle, first and foremost, regardless of what's going on here. And actually, sitting out of this week, if they forfeited this weekend, for example, against Dewsbury, that would probably be one of the games that would have had down as getting them 2 points. So if they say forfeit this weekend and then are back to it next weekend, they will have lost one of their best chances of getting points on the board. There's six games left. They've still got to play York, Wakefield, Barrow, Batley and Halifax. It's slightly unprecedented. I can't even really remember in rugby league terms. I honestly can't remember the last time a team bowed out during the season. I can remember teams disappearing sort of at the end of the season or, you know, just before the start. But I'm really struggling to think of a time where a team's just up sticks and went, you know, the Toronto situation slightly different because of the context of that. But using the Toronto Wolfpack situation, what they did that season was they effectively expunged Toronto's records. They'd only played seven or eight games at that time. All of Toronto's results and games were removed as if they hadn't happened. Now, with this Whitehaven situation, it's very different. Toronto had only played, I think, seven out of, what, 27? Whereas Whitehaven have done the flip reverse. Whitehaven have played 20 of 26 games already. And so to expunge such a large number of games might not be the best idea. So, and hopefully it doesn't get to this, but I suppose there's probably two options. There's probably two options, two outcomes. If whatever happens and Whitehaven aren't able to play on, I reckon there's probably two options. One, the results from the season get expunged. Or two, the remaining six games are forfeited. Both of which have different outcomes. Do you want me to explain them first, Mike, or do you want to give an insight on what you think would be the best? What do you think should happen? Do you think if Whitehaven turn around and say, right, we're going bump, we can't play anymore, what do you think, before I go through the permutations, do you think scrapping all their results from the season so far, that should be the way they go? Or should it just be a case of their record stays, but their last six games are basically losses?
First and foremost, I really hope that the answer is that they make it to the end of the season. I really do. But I've got really two answers, James. I've got the answer that probably benefits us the most, and then I've got what I think should happen. I think what should happen, for fairness for the competition, for points difference as well, I think it should be an equal. I think the whole season should be wiped, because you're going to have sides who have played them at various different stages of the season where they've been stronger. Then, obviously, I think, is it a natural minus 48 loss for the teams who haven't yet to play them again? So there could be a massive massive difference in points difference, which I think could be crucial. with how close the championship is, you think it will be. So I think for Furness over points difference, I think per game, you know, it should be, you know, 48 points goal difference for a side. And, well, yeah, just keep it all equal.
But then, they in the football last season, they did do it where the teams were forfeiting, but they didn't add any points difference on. Any goal difference in the football, whether that's something that's an option. It might, I mean, I don't know whether it has to be 48-0 now. Can it be 24 or was a 36 one year? I can't even remember
sure I might have read this week. It's with all the talk, it might have been increased to 48.
Yeah, well, because obviously, I think it's partly because in the COVID year, it was like if you were playing Toulouse away, you'd probably prefer to take a forfeit than have to pay to go there.
Well, yeah. I think for Furness, James, for everybody, and taking my witness hat off, it should be remove all the games played against Whitehaven. Nobody gets any points for playing them. And the points difference earned already gets taken away. So everybody, it's a clean slate. Right. I think one of the problem comes in for them carrying on is. I think they only fielded 16 players again on Sunday, and there's a couple of loans in there as well. Now, if you're a parent club of them loans, you're thinking, get your players out of this situation, and that could take you down to 14 players, I think.
Well, maybe. There was someone recalled last week, wasn't there? I think Noah High, I think, was recalled ahead of last week's game, which is why they only ran with 16.
I think they've got a couple from Halifax there as well, still, who played at weekend. Hersey might be one of them. But going on to my other answer of a witness point of view, which I know at the moment, you know, we shouldn't really be looking into too much. But look, it's a witness podcast, but you'd want them, A, to complete the games anyway. But B, you'd want just, you know, all the results to still stand, and the rest of the team still to go, the forfeited points difference and then the 2 points, as I'm sure you know you're going to go into now, James, as the reason why we'd want.
Yeah, so let's just say they decide we're going to keep the results, and the last six games will be forfeited, which means that whoever Whitehaven play over the next 6 weeks, the other team gets, whether it's 48-0, whatever it is, gets the win. Now, the teams around Widnes that will benefit from that are York and Batley. Wakefield will as well, but Wakefield, of course, are going to win the league anyway. York and Batley would effectively get 2 points extra onto their totals. But then, I suppose you might argue the toss, well, you might have expected them to get them results anyway. If York and Batley had the 2 points extra right now, that would move them within a point of Widnes and really tighten up that playoff area. So that's what's going to happen. Oh, that's how it would look if the fairly, well, the more, I think probably the more straightforward solution of just forfeiting the remaining games. I mean, they might forfeit them on a week-by-week basis. It might be, you might find that they might forfeit this week, but they might end up agreeing something and then playing on the following week. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, ultimately, the players are on contract. If the club hasn't done anything to... If the club hasn't done anything to breach their contracts, then technically the players would be in breach contract. And there might be some issues around that going on where, ultimately, if the players don't play, they might not get paid. And, you know, I would imagine that there's, you know, are they going on strike? I don't know. But if York and Batley were to gain them extra 2 points, it really tightens things up. They would be level on points with Featherstone as things stand, only a point behind Widnes, only a point further on from Bradford. So that would make things very tight. Now, if it went the other way and they expunged all the results, Widnes benefits slightly because Widnes drew with Whitehaven early in the season at home. So whereas Bradford, Sheffield and Toulouse have all beaten Whitehaven twice already this season, they would all lose 4 points from their totals. Widnes would only lose 3. So that would mean Widnes would effectively now be level on points with Bradford, and only 2 points behind Sheffield. So it puts Widnes back in touching distance of those above them. Again, York benefit if the results are expunged, because Whitehaven beat York earlier in the season. In fact, they're the only top team, really, or the only top half team that's lost to Whitehaven this season. So York would gain, because they wouldn't lose any points if Whitehaven's results were expunged. So all of a sudden, York would then be on equal points with Widnes and Bradford, and would actually leapfrog Featherstone. So York are the big winners, really, no matter what happens. Doncaster had a draw as well, so they'd gain a point, although it feels like they're slipping a little bit out of contention at the moment. So
they lost to them this week as well, mate.
Yeah, true. So they'd only lose 1 point, Doncaster, basically. So York wouldn't lose any, Doncaster would lose one. So I think Doncaster, for them, that would bring, I think they'd end up on level points with Batley and Featherstone, I think, based on that. So, it's very interesting. And it's interesting because it might take a good few weeks to sort out. We might not find a solution out until, later on in the season. I suppose, ultimately, from a Widnes point of view, it doesn't really affect you. It's still very much in Widnes' hands. They can't be looking at this, but it might well have an impact on the final placings when it comes to the playoff places.
Absolutely. I mean, with my Widnes hat on, like, I'm thinking more of York being behind us and gaining ground on us. I think right now, the state of play, everything's in our control. We have still got a gap, depending what happens on Sunday. Of course, we could be doing this again next week, James, and that is completely different. So I think, from my point of view, I'd rather the play from our perspective stays as it is, and then if the worst comes to the worst, then, you know, games are forfeited from now to the end. But it was interesting you said about maybe them forfeiting this week and then seeing where they're at after that, because I think they played Dewsbury this week, who are adrift by 12 points. So if there was ever a weekend where if they forfeit, it wouldn't really affect anything at all, other than obviously Whitehaven themselves, this week is probably the week for it to ever happen, I suppose.
Yeah, and then, due to play York next week, and then they have Wakefield the week after. I'm sure they'll be... I mean, to be fair, by the time we put this podcast out, the situation may have even changed as well. So who knows? But we'll see how it goes. I think the other thing as well is, if you recall, York had a really good run last season and snuck into the playoffs at the end. I wonder whether... I know they've changed the coach, but Andrew Anderson's still there in the background. I wonder whether they're lining up a similar run to last season, where they didn't quite come out of nowhere, but certainly they were the outsiders for hitting the top six, and just out of nowhere they managed to sneak in. They got a good win at Toulouse last week. They've won three of the last four, and you know, maybe they're starting to build a little bit of momentum. So, but as I think we've said on a few, it's the good thing about the Championship is it's competitive, it's exciting, the games are close to call, there's plenty to play for. I just wish they had a little bit more profile about it. Maybe that's something that can change in the coming years, because I think the battling that goes on, it's made to feel like, because it's not Super League, nobody cares about it, or it's not really important. But I genuinely feel like if they could start making a big deal out of who wins the Championship, you know, whether you call them the part-time rugby league champions or the rugby league working champions or whatever you want to call it, just make a big deal out of it. I think it would make a difference, because the league, it's got all the raw ingredients, the competitive matches, the closeness in the league tables, all there. They just need something a bit more prestigious to play for to get more coverage or more eyeballs.
100%, mate. And with that, hopefully then comes a better sponsorship deal, and then you might be working towards a world then where you're getting a better TV deal, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're building towards something. But like you just said, really, the product is there. Like, we all watch sport for competitiveness, for entertainment, being exciting, not knowing which way a tie's gonna go. And you know, if you cut Dewsbury away from that, and obviously the situation at Whitehaven, I mean, Whitehaven season, despite being hamstrung with all this building up in the background, they've been very competitive, you know. So it has all the raw ingredients there, and it's just a crying shame, like you say, that it doesn't have that. I think neglect's the right word. It is neglected a little bit, and obviously I've said before, the dual reg system and the way loans are and stuff, I don't think helps its cause either, and things like that. But I just hope, my hope is somebody does get a hold of it, and certainly IMG, if we're going to stick with IMG, you know, for the foreseeable future, they really look at the championship as, you know, a way where we can get more eyeballs on it, help the playing pool, and, you know, essentially, you know, get more games on telly that are entertaining and grow the game.
I think ultimately the bottom line is it's up to the clubs. It's up to the clubs to market themselves and get better commercial deals for themselves and to get more fans in their own grounds. It's up to the individual clubs to do that. But I think what doesn't help them is they need the context. They need context to do those things. And the problem is at the moment is the context that's set by the top is that no one cares, no one's bothered about the championship. It's just a stepping stone to Super League. There's no promotion, whatever. And so I think while it's not necessarily the RFL's fault or whoever, that there aren't big sponsors, or, you know, it's not their responsibility. It's not the RFL's responsibility to get 5,000 in the Widnes ground. It's Widnes's sole responsibility to do that. But I think what doesn't help is the lack of context or prestige, whatever, created around the championship that helps Widnes then sell it better. Hopefully they'll be on with that anyway. But thanks for joining me as ever, Mike. And please do leave your comments on the podcast wherever you listen, or if you want to get involved on the Facebook page, Widnes Rugby League Fans on Facebook. We've still got a few things planned in the pipeline for the coming weeks. Hopefully they'll come to fruition soon. But from both of us for this week, it's bye for now.